A good day starts with a good night's sleep, and most people sleep in a bed. But not everyone can afford one, and that's especially hard for families who have children who are sleeping on the floor, on furniture, or with other family members because they don't have a bed of their own. Helping to meet that need is the West Bloomington Revitalization Project's Bed Blitz. On October 14th, three shifts of four-person teams will build beds for 5 to 18-year-olds at Youth Build. And while the building takes place in October, the deadline to apply for a bed is today. Robert Bosquez and Ryan Heron are on the WBRP board and direct the Tool Library, and they're helping to organize the Bed Blitz. Bosquez says the idea came from the Build a Bed program at Morehead State University in Kentucky.
So we reached out with Recycle Furniture for Families and just asked them what their need was, and they said their number one need was beds. And we came up with a plan that we borrowed, and we ran with it.
And Robert or Ryan, did either of you have any clue as to the need in this community for kids who don't have beds? I mean, most people would think a kid sleeps on a bed.
Right. You would think that, but and kind of as we heard about this and started talking with some of our members that come into the Tool Library, talking with other organizations, they kind of echoed this sentiment. And even then, I think we still struggled to believe that until last year we sent out our applications, not really sure what to expect. And we had over 106 applicants in that first year. And that's what really solidified that this was a need in the community for us.
106 applicants, but you only built 40 beds.
That's correct. Yeah, we didn't know what to plan for last year. So we set 40 at the max, and we hit that right away.
So what would a basic bed frame, mattress, and bedding for a child cost a family typically?
Yeah, I mean, a bed frame, a mattress, sheets, pillows. If you don't have all those things, you're in $200, $300, possibly $400, depending on where you get that stuff from.
And that's a significant portion of some of these families' monthly income.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, especially if you're in a situation where you're moving into a new apartment or a new home and you're paying first and last month's rent plus all the utilities and getting those set up and all those moving expenses come in. And if you have 2, 3, 4 beds, that's a very significant investment for a family to make.
Sure. It's important to remember that's just $400 for one child.
For one child.
Robert, what did you learn in the first year that problems or things that you think could go better in the second year?
Actually, to be honest, we had no idea what we were going to do, what we were doing when we first started doing this. And at the end of the day, me and Ryan looked at each other and we said, things went perfect. I mean, they went smooth. Volunteers, there was only one group that did not show, but we had another group step up and build these beds. And really, I mean, the whole day went smooth. The other thing that we did, of course, find out that we need to do is raise more money, because 40 beds was not enough. It was not enough. So we our goal right away was to let's just double it. And that was our goal, to double it. And we said, we'll somehow come up with the money.
So what kind of fundraising efforts have you done for the Bed Blitz?
We were fortunate enough to be on the Burns-O-Matic Find Your Fire grant last year. We submitted the grant in, which was fairly simple. All we had to do is just give them the idea or our idea on how to use a blowtorch. And we were one of the top 10 finalists out of the whole United States. And then from December 1st through December 31st of last year, it was all voting, online voting. And we were fortunate enough to come in second, and that was $7,500. So that pretty much solidified us that we were going to do 80 beds.
So no individual contributions? Did the teams that helped build the beds actually make a contribution?
Last year we did that, but through the various fundraising efforts, after we did this last year and the word kind of spread and got out, we had a number of organizations really step up to the plate and seeing how they can help us achieve our goal this year. So beyond the Burns-O-Matic grant, which we really ran through last winter, we also had the Daybreak Rotary Club stepped up to sponsor the bunkie boards, kind of the
box springs.
That's correct. Yeah. As well as we had Tempur-Pedic mattresses through a partnership with Sherman's, who supplied the box springs and mattresses last year at a significant discount. They stepped up to the plate and were able to provide us all 80 mattresses this year through a program that Tempur-Pedic runs.
So everything went well the first year, Robert. No changes in the second year. What about child care?
Oh, that is true. So this year we are having child care provided that day. So if there's a family out there that has, you know, little ones and they want to volunteer, this can, you know, they'll be able to bring them and feel comfortable leaving them there with someone, and they're going to have activities set up for the kids there.
So tell me how all of this works. Let's start with families who need beds. How are you getting the word out to them, and how do they apply? Ryan?
Yeah, we started our application process earlier in the month. We reached out to a number of social service organizations that we've had partnerships or contact with, as well as the local school districts, and requested that they provide the application to their families that they service or may benefit from the program, as well as through social media and other channels. We got that word out, and so September 21st at 7 p.m., all of our applications will be due for this year, and we will go through and get in contact with those families that are able to receive a bed this year.
What does an unsuccessful application look like? What keeps someone from not moving forward?
Yeah, we give high priority to children that are not, that currently do not have a bed. So if a family's looking just to replace existing beds, we'll give priority to those families that may be on an air mattress, a couch, or, you know, we've seen families of four or five all sharing one singular bed. So we'll give priority to those families, as well as we'll look at income requirements. And so giving priority to those lower middle income families.
And what about sleeping on somebody else's bed or sleeping on a couch? How does that all fit into sort of evaluating these applications, Robert?
Sure. So as Ryan said, you know, priority, of course, is going to be with little ones sleeping on the floor, air mattress. And once you reach a certain number, so for example, say we have 30 of those applicants and the rest of them, then we go, okay, the next one is, are they sharing a bed? Are they sleeping on a couch? Are the parents giving up their bed for their kids? So that's the process we kind of go through and get all these beds and make sure they're going to the right families.
And you said, before we started talking today, you said you already had 30 or so applications, which doesn't sound like a lot. You had 106 last year, but they all sort of come in at the last minute.
Yes, correct. So last year, the last day that they were due, we received just a stack full of applications. So I would say 50% of those we received the last day.
So any idea what you might get this year? Have you done a better job of getting the word out? Do you think you'll have more than 106 applications?
We think that we'll get within 80 to 100 applications this year is what our assumption. We were able to fulfill 40 of those requests last year that we had, as well as provide information on other services in the community where, like recycling furniture for families, has programs that are ongoing. So we assume we'll get to that number, but we won't know until the 21st.
So there's churn in the community. People move in, people move out. But I suppose one measure of success for this program is to see the level of need actually go down. You start off at 40 beds, you may give away 80 this year, but if next year you're at 40, it doesn't mean you're any less successful, does it?
No, I think that's our ultimate goal, is we'll continue doing this program annually until we stop getting applications. When that happens, we'll consider this a success and move on to the next event.
And what about the actual bed building? I wouldn't know where to start if I were building a bed. So how does a team know what they're going to do, Robert?
Sure. So we're going to do youth build. Students are pre-cutting all our wood, all the lumber, and we're going to have them set up into kits. And really, you don't need any experience at all. The kits will be set up before every shift. Myself and Ryan will do a little demonstration, a quick 5-minute demonstration, just to let them know this is what you have.
So the kit is all the wood, all the lumber, the tools you need, all of that.
Everything will be at the table.
Tell me about Youth Build, that program, and what they do in the community.
Youth Build, this is a great program. What they do as far as for us is they, first of all, give us the location. Without this big location, we won't have a place to build these beds. So they stepped up to the plate last year, and Tracy Polson, the director there, is in our committee, and she's been great. And again, she's offered her place, and that's where we're going to do it again this year.
Yeah, and along with providing that space, Youth Build really helps us get prepared for the event in allowing all, you can imagine, 80 mattresses takes up a lot of space. So they provide that warehouse space to store mattresses, lumber. They pre-cut, pre-sand the lumber, and provide the the child care the day of the event, as well as just act as an amazing host and partner in making this a reality every year.
How long does it take to build a bed, Robert?
So our shifts are currently set up for 2 hours, but that gives us enough space to set up and tear down after the build. So we're looking at about an hour and a half.
And is there a headboard, a footboard? I mean, or is this just a sort of a platform?
Yeah, there's four basic parts. There's the headboard, the footboard, and then the two side rails. So that's that, and then the slats that go underneath the support.
And then what? You said the stuff was pre-sanded. Is it left as raw wood?
It is. So we pre-sand, and then after a group is done building, they'll go to one of our sanding stations and give everything a nice fine finish, removing any imperfections on the wood to make it safer for a family to have. The families take the beds home that day, so they are raw wood, but we will provide information as being part of the tool library for families to become members and they can come in. We have over 1,000 paintbrushes that are available.
Do the teams get to meet the families?
We will have some of the families. We do invite them to help build the day of the event, as well as we ask that they come and pick up the day of the event. So there is the opportunity to interact within the community. We really see this as a community building event. So we want to invite volunteers, families together for one day to help solve a need in our community and do something great for your neighbor.
So 4-person teams. You have a morning shift and an afternoon shift. How many more teams or people do you need?
So currently right now, our morning shift is filling up pretty quick. But the afternoon shift, there's still a lot of openings. So we're looking for, from noon to 5. There's two shifts there. So there's 12 to 2 and then 2 to 4. So those shifts are the ones we're looking to for volunteers.
How many more people or teams do you think you need?
We would need about 100 more individuals to meet our need.
We're 25 teams.
Yep.
Right.
And you mentioned the mattresses and the box springs. What else does it take to complete this? You have the quilts coming from Nancy Stone and her group, and we'll hear from her in just a moment here on Sound Ideas. What else? What about pillows, pillowcases, that stuff?
Yes, we got pillows, pillowcases, twin sheets. We also teamed up with Build-A-Bear out of Peoria, and they were able to provide 80 bears this year that will also be part of the package.
And Ryan, you alluded to this, but what do you think this initiative says about Bloomington Normal? Sort of coming together to meet a need, everyone pulling together in the same direction. What do you think?
We've got an amazing community here that's always looking for ways that they can step up and make a difference, fulfill a need. And this is just another one of those opportunities that I think people love to do. It's a great event to get to know your neighbors and to do something great.
And you both have seen this in action. Robert, what do you think about this event?
Of course. Let's make no mistake about this. Bloomington Normal is a great community, hands-down community. The good thing about, the great thing that I love about Bloomington Normal, is, as Ryan alluded to, is when there's a need, they step up. So, for example, when we heard about that kids needed beds and we put this out there, we got an overwhelming response. We see families bring their kids as well and help volunteer. So these, they're passing it down as let's help thy neighbor. And Bloomington Normal, again, awesome community.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the great things about what we do, we've got the tools, but we didn't have the volunteers. We didn't have the manpower to do this. And so that came together. We didn't. And one of the great things was some of the families that came in to help build, that we saw them become members of the tool library. And I remember the weekend after the bed blitz last year, we had a family come in to become members and to check out tools because the parents wanted to build a bed of their own, right? So it was great just to see this. What's really one day's effort can really expand and balloon into something so much more.
What impact can this have on a child's life? If everyone's had a poor night's sleep and then tried to move through their day the next day sort of in a fog, if you're sleeping on the floor or in bed with somebody else or on an uncomfortable couch, how does that impact that child's life and how does the bed change it?
Every day starts with a great night's sleep, right? And if you're sharing a bed or if you're on a cold or uncomfortable floor, it's difficult to get your day started on the right foot. And that translates into school, into performance. One of the things also that a bed provides is a private space of your own for a child. So a place to do homework, to cozy up and read a book, just to kind of get away from it all and to reset. It really provides that own personal private space.
So Robert, do you think it's life-changing for these families or these children?
Oh, absolutely. So I work in education, and I've talked to teachers and just kind of get an idea about, you know, how can we help? What do you guys see throughout a day as a kid either is struggling or having a hard time? And they say their number one thing is they didn't get a good night's rest, you know, and who knows what the good night rest, you know, looks like. But as Ryan said, if they have their own space, their own bed where they can just go and just lay down for either 5 minutes and just, you know, just focus on themselves and not have to share anything or just be worried about anything, that goes a long way. Kids get a good night rest, then they're fresh, ready to go in the morning, and that, you know, that leads to changes in the classroom, and it means paying more attention and just having a better attitude all over.
Ryan and Robert, thanks for coming in to talk about the Bed Blitz on Sound Ideas.
Well, thank you.
Ryan Heron and Robert Bosquez are on the West Bloomington Revitalization Project Board, and with the Tool Library, they're helping to organize the WBRP's Bed Blitz on October 14th. Today is the deadline to apply for a bed, but Heron says as of last night, they've received more than 80 applications for 80 beds. Volunteers are still needed, however. Teams can sign up for a 90-minute shift to build a bed. The web address is thetoollib.com. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM, GLT, and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.